The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You're listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter Brian Berga. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Trendsetter back for another week of SmackDown. Now, listen.
I love how you say other.
Other. Last week was kind of tough, right? And here on the unofficial WWE podcast, we try to put our best foot forward. But today, Trendsetter, today, as we speak, in the very late hour that we're taping this show on my birthday, we're going to give you the top three things that happened here on SmackDown and then kind of go around the other things that happened as well. But we're going to give you the top three here. Let's be honest, guys. Got so many things to do here on my birthday, but that's the show you're going to get today. Trendsetter, what is going on, man? Where are my gifts, man? Are you still wrapping them?
Gifts? Whoa. I knew I forgot something.
You were like, gifts or gifts?
But before we talk about the gifts, though, let's not forget to follow us on all social media platforms out there. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at High Spot Podcast. Also, check us out. We're all great podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, you name it, we're on it. And also make sure you follow our YouTube channel as well. Jeff, happy birthday, man. I hope you are even wiser than you are disturbingly good-looking.
Yeah, no, man. Listen, great to spend this birthday with my family.
Such a liar.
Going to look forward to it. Again, enjoy the last couple of weeks of the summertime. It's sad to say, where did the summer go? But I'm going to enjoy it, man. The last year of being in my 30s, man, I'm getting old. I look young, though. I feel young still. So hopefully it'll be a very prosperous year, and hopefully a good year for the High Spot Podcast, HSP, as well as for everyone here on the unofficial WWE Podcast. But let's get started, Trendsetter.
Yeah, I mean, you say you feel young, right? And age is just a number, as they say. I would love to see the numbers of the ratings per hour for this show, because, man, last week, it was kind of tough, guys. We went through it. We tried to dissect everything. It was really difficult because the momentum kept shifting from one thing to the other, and a lot of head-scratching moments. This one, sadly say, a lot of head-scratching moments as well.
Some oh, really? You thought so? I thought it was like more of a cluster, but you know, things progressed as we're on the road to SummerSlam here. So let's get it started, Trendsetter. We had a recap of Retribution, and we had to witness it again, something that we ripped royally last week, and that is the guys in Retribution, especially when they had the close.
Did you catch the funny text from Brad Shepard, though? Is it
no.
Aces and 5'8"?
Oh, I like that.
Everybody seems to be under 5'8".
Not even 5'8", dude. There are some people that are 5'6". I swear.
This is our house.
I felt like Nate Robinson was in the dressed up.
That's
I was like, holy crap. But yeah, so that would change later on because we see Retribution again later on the show, and some things kind of look different. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we get the opening match, Big E versus John Morrison, and this would be Big E's first true test in singles competition against John Morrison, who finally we've been asking for a singles push, a singles run, something. So this is going to be a very good match, but before we could even get like into this thing, Retribution shows up. The female with the purple streaks comes out. I think it's some of them are NXT UK guys, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, these dudes pop up. Definitely bigger than 5'8". These dudes have to be like 6'3", 6'4". So definitely
5'10".
They got the message.
5'11".
They got the message. Whether it was us, whether it was Meltzer or other people, they got the message because these dudes that were in the ring and attacked Morrison and Big E, they definitely were not, I don't want to get into saying midgets.
Yeah,
they're not undersized. So they attack him brutally, and then they head to the back into the locker room, and we don't even get this match. But luckily, we will get this match as the main event later on in the show. You have a bunch of guys in the locker room kind of like arguing about, Retribution and whether Big E had provoked it the other week with his tweet. And then comes out King Corbin saying that, follow me, I know the way, So, I mean, are Retribution in these guys' heads right now in the locker room?
You know, Jeff, I don't give a lot of credit. And it's not just because it's his birthday. You know, I don't give a lot of credit to
Jeff. For watching the show?
No, not for watching the show, but for the enthusiasm you're trying to put behind something right now that, you mentioned before in the beginning this Big E's first big test opportunity. Come on, guys. Seriously?
Are we seriously going to do that?
I didn't see it.
Oh, man.
I don't think I really want to from the tone of your voice to see it. But again, you know, Big E has to explain that he's a former NXT champion. He's a former IC champion as well. I mean, come on, guys. I understand what direction the WWE is going in terms of trying to reintroduce Big E into the singles division, but come on, guys. It's not that believable that he can compete one-on-one. He's got the size. He's got the speed. Yeah, he might be a little bit undersized compared to some of the giants in WWE, but this guy can go. He can move. He has the strength. So why is it not believable? Why do we constantly keep having to put scenarios like, I mean, look, let's put, for example, John Morrison.
Yeah.
John Morrison, since he started, has not been in a singles run. He's been paired up with The Miz. So what, now Morrison, as talented as he is, and we know what he's done outside of WWE, which has given him that echelon of being a single star, he's now the big test? I mean, how does any of this make any sense? And just scratch my head because
you're not supposed to remember what they did outside of WWE, Trent.
I know. I understand we live in this bubble, but what I fail to understand, hey, if we're living in the WWE bubble, Jeff, you know, in the Performance Center.
I'd rather be in the NBA bubble.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a little bit more sense. But if we're living in this WWE bubble in the Performance Center, okay, I'm not looking at the history of John Morrison outside what he's done in Impact, what he's done in Lucha Underground and things of that nature. Dude, but what he's done in WWE, it's a lengthy singles career right there. But we tend to, forget that ever existed as we forgot Big E's history? Yeah. And then Retribution. I mean, listen, I heard a comment made once, and I thought it made a lot of sense, too. And tell me if you agree with me, Jeff. It's one thing that we know it's part of the show, but don't tell us it's part of the show. Yeah. Meaning, we know this is supposed to be some type of invasion, maybe some disgruntled employees, who knows. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, why do you have to give it acknowledgement? Why do you have to name it something? Why do we have to constantly keep doing that? Perfect example, when the NWO came out, first time around, we didn't know what was going on.
It
was a mystery. We didn't know if this was part of the show or it wasn't part of the show. We know it is. But stop feeding us like it is and stop trying to package it that it is. Because in a way, although, again, we're not the demographic, it insults our intelligence. You have Retribution attacking. We have no idea why they're doing it. And then you have vignette packages of them attacking. Why would you do that if you do not want to acknowledge them whatsoever?
Yeah. And then they get – did you see the security that they hired? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
They
get two people at the door, basically.
These two toothpicks out there.
At the door. Then you have them going back to the backstage area with people who are like, yo, we have to stand up to this. Come on. Are we going back to the days of the invasion now where – the locker room leadership has to be found out, and King Corbin coming out, I'll lead the way because you need leadership. Oh, shut the hell up.
The funniest part of that is that Big E called them the Foot Clan, which is basically pretty funny. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And Big E definitely is trying to urge the troops, saying now is the time to fight and not sit down and all that sort of thing. So Big E is trying to become a leader. Baron Corbin thinks he's the leader just because he's the king. And you get Sheamus coming in with God knows where he does his shopping from, man. Good God, where does he go shopping?
Wait, but wasn't more annoying what he was wearing or the last time we saw him after a long period of time? We had the mohawk.
Well, the beard. Yeah, the beard, that was weird. But my thing with Sheamus is you thought he was face. He turned face last week, but now he's back to being, bully Sheamus and stuff like that, like cocky Sheamus. So, like, where is his thing going?
He's a tweener.
The tweener, that's what they love to do. They never like to define their guys, man. Like, is he a good guy? Is he a heel? Like, what is he? And we're having to try to decipher this week after week. So Sheamus says that, he is kind of blaming Big E as well and saying that Retribution won't dare interfere in his match. So he's very confident going into his matchup with Shorty G later on. So you get that going on backstage. And then my third best moment here, because we're going through everything, but this is my third best spot, is Bayley and Sasha Banks, because they came in talking about the challenges that are coming ahead at at SummerSlam, and they're talking about the lost opportunity for Bayley to shut out Asuka at SummerSlam because she couldn't get the job done for Sasha Banks, right? So they come out here, and then they start introducing the names for the Tri-Band Battle Royal. No Rhea Ripley, by the way, which was, I think, a lost opportunity. But then again, trendsetter, and I'll say this again, imitation is the best form of flattery, because they, or Bruce Pritchard, has gone into the time machine and went into the WCW Slamboree where Chris Jericho is introducing all the luchadors and the cruiserweights, and good God, they didn't do it justice, because if you're going to imitate Le Champion, do it right. I did not like this at all. This was so classic stealing from Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and like you said, if you're going to do it right, or do it better than the original.
Yeah.
This was such it was such far from it, basically, you know. But again, it goes back to them. They're trying to be this annoying, you know, irritating type of group. They do it well. I think it comes natural to Sasha. It comes natural to Bayley. That's just my opinion on it. I think it's just natural for them to be that annoying and obnoxious, because that's who they are, in a way, with the volume turned up really high. That's not a bad thing. That's their strength.
Yeah, but
back and forth, and then the big surprise was who is one of the, not the final, but one of the surprise ones where Bayley could not bear say the name. It was the Empress of, when is tomorrow coming, Jeff? Pretty soon, hopefully, on Asuka. Asuka now will compete for the SmackDown Women's Championship in the Battle Royal, even though she already has a title shot for the Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks.
Yeah, she'll compete for a shot at it at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And then we get the final four, which is Asuka, Tegan Nox, Shayna Baszler, and surprisingly, Dana Brooke.
Was a surprise in this. You know, they really, not just she was on the final four, but they showcased her pretty well.
They really did. Bianca Belair had a good showing.
Too, yeah.
But unfortunately,
do something with these women.
I know.
Tegan Nox.
And Rhea Ripley's
not in
this. Bianca
Belair. Do something with them.
And then, of course, there's that spot where Asuka is able to knock down Bayley and Sasha. She's about to get, you know, thrown out from Baszler, but she's able to step on Asuka. And Asuka's able to step on Sasha and Bayley. There's a lot of land on there with Asuka on Bayley. There's a lot of cushion there to land on there. So obviously she was able
to. I choose not to look at it.
It's
not appealing to me. Maybe for you.
She was able to get back in the ring and catch Baszler trying to choke her out, pushed her down, and your winner is Asuka.
She got eliminated, basically. Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing. And I love the way you're trying to call play for it. But like,
you think she got eliminated. You think she would learn from the Royal Rumble loss to Charlotte Flair, but she didn't. So she's got to go back in the drawing board and look at how to actually win a Rumble match, because hanging on to somebody by the ropes never works, never a good thing. But Asuka now has the opportunity to transcend.
What do you think about that, honestly? Now she's going to compete for two matches. Could she be a similar scenario with Becky Two Belts here?
Maybe, but you can tell that they like her a lot. You can tell that Vince is behind her. You can tell that they like her. They see her.
And that's all on
Asuka.
Yes. Basically, she's done that on herself.
Oh, totally 100%. She's done she's crossed that barrier that happens to a lot of the international wrestlers, especially Japanese wrestlers. And if at somehow SummerSlam she is able to, okay, can she sweep it? Definitely she can. She's on a roll right now.
Storyline would vote for that.
Exactly.
To happen.
She kicked butt backstage as she attacked Bayley and Sasha. So she's on a roll right now, right? She's kind of avenging Kairi Sane and everything that happened there.
Yeah.
Of course, Kairi Sane now is back in Japan. But storyline-wise, avenging the attack on Kairi Sane by Bayley and Sasha Banks. So right now she's on a roll. But trendsetter, here's my thing that I'm going to tell you, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she wins both or one of them, if she wins one of them, in my eyes, she will become the most successful Japanese wrestler in WWE history.
That's a fair statement to make, yeah.
But I really believe that she will be. She's crossed it. There, you know, Nakamura hasn't. Let's be honest, he hasn't. Other wrestlers have come in here, and they haven't been able to do that. But to me, it'll be Asuka that'll be the most successful Japanese wrestler in WWE history. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing, because she crossed that barrier.
Yeah, that'd be a fair assessment. And just going back real quick, when I said it all fell on Asuka, this is a woman that was the most dominant force in NXT in the women's division. Just champion-wise in NXT, of how long she held the title, Granted, she was never defeated for it. She just relinquished it because she moved over to the main roster. Still had the undefeated streak going. Lost in a really great match against Charlotte Flair. But then after that, was brought down, not a peg or two, all the way down to the basement, the bottom of the very bottom. And that's where Vince put her. That's the creative put her. And she worked her way back up, making herself entertaining, making herself noticeable where you would see it. So I don't want to hear anything about, oh, you know, creative had this direction for her. They saw something. No, they saw nothing in her.
They dropped
the ball. She did it. They dropped the ball. She was able, and this is a testament to her not only as an in-ring competitor, but her as a quote-unquote entertainer. She took the ball and ran with it. And I think the pinnacle point was when she was on commentary on Raw, and she was doing it all in her native language of Japanese. Yeah. I was like, this is hilarious. She says it better than Byron Saxton, Corey Graves, Michael Cole, or Todd Phillips combined. She was more entertaining than those guys were. So I feel great for her. In terms of storyline-wise, I think, you know, to have her defeat both of them, who've been, you know, thorns in her side, and what they've done to her best friend, Kairi Sane, forced her into early retirement, right? The storyline bogues for that. But you're right. If she wins one, defeats Sasha, or defeats Bayley, whichever one, I think we're finally going to see something that we talked about weeks before and even months before that. Oh, I don't think it should happen now because now they're just – they have so much – done so much of a role, Sasha and Bayley. I think now, if it happens at SummerSlam – because it makes no sense if she doesn't beat any of them.
You saw the seeds planted backstage when they were talking about it where Bayley was like, well, my title was on the line at on Raw, so really didn't have anything
to – now I have something to fight for.
Exactly.
Not Sasha.
Exactly.
And her honor to keep her from –
you saw the seed again planted.
It.
Yep.
Asuka. So I think that's what's going to happen. The seeds have been planted. We've been seeing it over and over again. I still think the build-up prior to that, maybe 3 years ago, would have been better. Here we are now. So I think regardless, at the end of SummerSlam, this is what's going to happen, lead to it. This is probably one of the most intriguing storylines I've really been interested in. But it's a shame you got to combine both brands to make people pay attention to the women's division.
Now, Trendsetter, if you're going to have a hair versus hair match, don't you think you would save Mandy Rose from having her head cut just so that the just so that there'd be a hint, inkling that maybe, you know, Mandy Rose could win this match or Sonya Deville can win this match? Because we already see Mandy Rose with her head, with her hair, you know, cut a little bit shorter. And you don't
just
see
nice,
Sonya
by the way.
Really nice. Yeah. And, you know, Sonya Deville, let me tell you something. She looked amazing when she accepted the challenge. She was looking tremendous. So,
promo-wise or?
No, just her. I mean,
her look?
She, her look. She just, wow. But besides that, though, wouldn't you not cut her hair so that you would think, okay, this match could go either way? You see Mandy Rose there with the shorter hair. Sonya Deville still got her long hair. It's just kind of weird to me here where we're like, okay, I'm expecting Sonya Deville to lose this match at SummerSlam because how much shorter are they going to cut Mandy's hair? Are they going to go like, you know, they're going to do it like cut it by like maybe like neck level or something like that?
Quarter of an inch maybe?
I know. I don't know. But I would love it to be left to the imagination that either woman could lose here. But now I believe that this is Sonya Deville that's going to end up getting a haircut at SummerSlam.
Well, I don't know. That's where I disagree with you, though. Yes, you would think, out of everything that Sonya Deville's been putting Mandy Rose through, that that's going to happen.
Because I've seen it already on SmackDown. Why would I go see it again at SummerSlam?
Because you're not expecting it. Here's the thing. We've seen Mandy Rose, and you never thought she'd be into the storyline that she pitched to WWE to work with Otis and to do those kind of things to kind of get out of her comfort zone because a lot of people have looked at her as just a pretty face, another Eva Marie, and she is nothing like Eva Marie. You see the work that Mandy Rose has put in, and she's gotten significantly better in the ring. Not great, but she's getting there. She's getting better and better from, you know, a week before or the day before. So that's effort, and you appreciate that when you see it from a fan standpoint. So who's to say that she's not willing to lose her hair to kind of make everyone, all the naysayers saying, you know what, she's not going to do it because she's a preface, know where she dare do it. Hey, if she were to do that, honestly, how much more how much more badass or respect would you have for Mandy for doing something like that? Because she has enough confidence within herself saying, you know what, it's just hair. Yeah. It'll grow back. So you shave my head or I go bald. Who cares? It's part of a good storyline. And that shows she's a team player. But also, how much more would that put on Sonya Deville for the one that shaved Mandy's head?
Yeah.
That would put a lot of heat on her. People would hate her for doing that because this is a beautiful Mandy. How could you do that to her? Otis wouldn't care because he still loves Mandy for what she is, a gorgeous woman. And that would make Sonya look so much more evil. So I don't think it's clear cut, Jeff, that yes, maybe a lot of people will say, oh, well, now Sonya Deville's going to have her head shaved. I think it's intriguing, and I think we're going to see something
intriguing.
That we're not.
Okay.
It's intriguing because, again, how many times – when's the last time we saw a hair versus hair match that actually kind of meant something?
Yeah.
Last time I remember was the Battle of the Billionaires and our president kicked the crap out of Vince McMahon and shaved him bald. You know,
say that again, and did that really happen?
That really happened. Our president at WrestleMania shaved the chairman of the board, Vince McMahon's head, bald.
WWE Hall of Famer, by the way.
WWE Hall of Famer as well.
All right, Trendsetter. Sheamus defeats Shorty G. Kicks his butt again with the white noise, with the hits of white noise, and then the bro kick. And
it's sad that Chad Gable's just a seat filler. It's a shame. Yeah. It's really a shame.
And that's all we're going to say on that. AJ Styles and Abyss. What a reunion that was.
I thought I was watching TNA, Jeff.
Oh, man. Yes, yes, yes. And if you saw the antics afterwards, you kind of thought you were kind of watching TNA. But, what a great.
Says you can't go home again,
yeah,
right,
that was,
Jeff?
That was a little nostalgic for all our five TNA Impact fans. So definitely, though, good to see that. And what was Abyss's name when he was the regular? Like, was it Joe Park? Joe Park, right?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, but I believe that was it.
So you got a little bit of Joe Park there, and
I don't think we're ever going to see Abyss.
Do you know that they had a thing on Instagram where they were showing it, and they cut off Parker's. Up to his nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it, and I was so distracted because they had AJ with the board. But then I'm looking at the guy behind him, and, you know, he was kind of – he had his arms crossed, and then you saw – and I was like, Paul Heyman? You know, just because I was like, oh, okay, then Joe Park was there. But, like, because they had cut off his – like, from the nose up.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, what? It's like, you know, but anyways, but it was good to see them together.
We know it's not Paul.
Basically, AJ Styles is into the analyst. Yeah, no way they're sharing a ring anytime soon.
Nope.
So AJ Styles is Mr. Analytics,
yeah.
Telling it nobody deserves a shot at his Intercontinental Championship. And in comes the number one statistic himself. Jeff Hardy comes in after getting bro kicked out of the match last week and now shows up and says that he never really got his opportunity to vie for the Intercontinental title.
Oh,
and now he
respects
the heck out of AJ Styles, but he wants his shot. And AJ Styles says that, you know, he's not deserving of it. And
well, he says he respects him. He appreciates it, everything he's gone through, but he does not deserve a title shot. And this is true. Mm-hmm. And I do not understand how anybody could argue against it. It is not true. Look at his track record. Yeah, he beat Sheamus in a bar match. That's the only match he defeated him in. And, you know, in his last couple matches haven't been great.
Oh.
So what bodes Jeff Hardy? Just because, if he didn't get ambushed by Sheamus, he would have been fighting AJ. That was how many months ago?
Mm-hmm.
We can't live in the past, Jeff. You talked about it too. Jeff preaches, I can't live in the past. I gotta move forward. You know, I can't look at my demons anymore. Blah blah blah. All that stuff. Okay, cool, great.
Lord.
You can't live in the past anymore. That was then. This is now. Right now, there's nobody on AJ Styles level. I'll say that again, Jeff. There is nobody. Not Randy Orton. Okay, not him.
Not Seth freaking Rollins.
Not Seth freaking Rollins. Not John Moxley. Not Kenny Omega. It hurts to say that. Not Chris Jericho in the ring. In the ring, there is nobody on AJ Styles' level.
Nope.
Clear cut. If you have an argument, please, I would love to hear it.
Call that 800 number that Matt puts out for his Raw thing. Call that and add us.
Yeah, add us. Hit us up on Twitter.
At High Spot Podcast.
Yeah, I would love to hear the argument because I think it's a great argument in terms because, hey, I feel strongly for AJ. I think he's the best in-ring performer today, right now. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's nobody on his level. People can mention Daniel Bryan. We haven't heard much of him, too.
Congratulations, by the way.
Clearly, yeah, he has a new baby boy. Congratulations to him for taking care of that. Who knows, he might come down the road, but he's been off TV for a while. He might be the next person because I don't think this rivalry is over anytime soon. That when he does come back, that's going to happen. But right now, I don't see anybody on the roster. I could see like a Matt Riddle or like you could put a Chad Gable in there. I'm not going to call him Shorty G. And those would be good matches. But I don't think anybody right now has the ability to be in there with AJ and to make it kind of like, oh, this is going to be a three-match type of rivalry.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy can make it entertaining. And it's like one of those dream matches we talked about if it had happened in the Intercontinental title tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just the way they've pushed Matt Hardy and into what he's become now is like, I'm not rooting for it. No. If it was in the beginning of that Intercontinental title tournament, hell yeah, because that's a dream match. It's one of those dream matches that have left to take place.
Basically, so, the storyline with Sheamus kind of soured the whole Jeff Hardy experience right
now. It did. So I don't know how much I'm looking forward to it, but we're going to get it next week on SmackDown. And then we get, well, number two was AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, because I think it's gonna be a good match. I just don't know, you know, whether we're gonna enjoy it because of this analytics whole, being the reason why they're feuding here. But I'm definitely gonna look forward to AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy, because you know what, they can make the best out of it, and AJ Styles can make anybody, you know, look good. So I'm looking forward to that. And Jeff Hardy, I believe he can still bounce back and give this good singles match. I'm going to look forward to it. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give Jeff Hardy the benefit of the doubt.
Listen, Jeff, in the ring, yes, I agree with you. I'm going to give it a shot. Of course, it's Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles. Clearly on paper, why wouldn't you want to see this match? Mm-hmm. You wanted to see it during the Intercontinental title tournament. Didn't happen. I'm talking about from an intriguing storyline basis. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in it.
No.
I'm not. Because this whole thing with Sheamus and the whole scenario went back to his past, his issues with his demons and addiction, kind of soured me on the fact that this is not something I'm looking forward to. It's just going to be a match we're going to see. Yeah. And it could be so much more.
Yeah.
It could have been so much more.
And the reason I'm going to give...
So much more.
And the reason I'm going to give this the number one nod, because I'll let you know after this, okay, is the whole Braun, Alexa, and Bray triangle now.
No.
Nikki Cross earlier, you know, gives Alexa Bliss a hug, saying, I'm sorry that I mistreated you and that I left you in there for the Fiend. And, you know, now you're apologizing. Were you looking for her? Were you putting her face on milk cartons? Like, did you do anything?
Yeah.
No, you're just waiting there. And, all of a sudden, like, Alexa Bliss is just out of nowhere, just is right there when you turn around.
Never shot her a text message. Didn't give her a call.
Not even a DM.
Just saw her in the locker room. Oh,
where's the DM?
By the way, apparently you guys aren't traveling together anymore.
So Alexa Bliss is like, yeah, don't worry about it. Whatever. I gotta go. You know, and go to the stage and talk to Braun. Before we get that, we get somebody interviewing Alexa Bliss, and we get the whole history between Braun and Alexa and their friendship outside of out of the ring, and how close they are, and Team Little Big, and you know how Alexa might have thought it might have got romantic down the road. All this stuff, man, that you're like, okay, all right.
Whatever, yeah, you know, say that now, Alexa. You know, here's the thing. Let's take a moment real quick. Yeah,
we have to.
Appreciate Alexa what Bliss is everything mm-hmm. that Alexa Bliss is right now. So 3, 2, 1.
All right.
That wasn't bad. That was not bad. But here's the thing that kind of grinds my gears a little bit, Jeff. Talk about the possibility of something romantically happening. She, as much as, yes, I love Alexa Bliss. How could you not? She's adorable. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. Everything. All of the above. Check them all off, right? But she was leading Braun on. Come on. Ryan Cabrera? Really? Ryan Cabrera? All the way down? It's the one hit single? Maybe a two hit single with the other song.
True.
But it's like, come on. Seriously? Ryan Cabrera over Braun Strowman. Are you kidding me here? And now you thought something was down the road? Could you have not led the guy on? Especially when they're in that ride together and what was it called? A ride along, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's flirting with him, giving him the French dress. Come on, Alexa. Come on. We know the power. We know you put that you know what up on a pedestal, guys. You know, Alexa Bliss, as much as I adore and love everything that is Alexa Bliss, she's been leading Braun Strowman on. So the mere fact that she mentioned that really irked me and irritated me. I mean, Ryan Cabrera? Seriously, Jeff?
Well, some guys have it, man.
Was he 54?
Oh, no, I don't think he's 54.
Looks like it.
But eventually they meet in the ring. You get a Braun Strowman who, you know, we were talking about whether it would be best to have him show up at SummerSlam. We get him here in the situation where he's bald-headed. And
what's that?
Yeah, and he's not Mr. Nice Guy anymore. He's not that, you know, funny monster. Alexa Bliss just doesn't understand saying that, you know, what about all the good times and you can't even look at me. And then finally...
That was tough. How could you not look at Alexa Bliss?
Oh, I know. It's tough. And then finally, Alexa does a good job, by the way, with her facial expressions as well, too, and all that. I mean, really, really adorable.
Honestly, man. Adorable. Again, adorable. But again, dude, when the time comes for Alexa Bliss to stop doing this in-the-ring stuff, mm-hmm. she'll be great either hosting, doing commentary, or who knows, she could work her way into Hollywood. Man. Yeah, she is that good. Definitely. Her facial expression, especially that 2 weeks ago, right, mm-hmm. when The Fiend was coming out of the ring, and you know, for anybody else, you'd probably be kind of laughing a little bit, but she showed fear mm-hmm. in her face. That was or it was indigestion, one of the two.
So then she has the courage enough to meet Braun in the middle of the ring and slaps him in the face with a bunch of serious slaps, although it's Alexa Bliss, and when you're like 7 foot, Alexa Bliss is 5 foot nothing, and you're getting little tiny slaps, you probably feel like maybe like flicks, whatever like that.
Braun
so,
got those hands.
Yeah,
man.
He got those hands, and then
those little hands. Those adorable.
She's so cute.
She's adorable.
And then when he's picking her up, and she just looks like a little toy.
Yeah.
And my God, that was some really tight yoga pants on Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
But anyways, dude, like,
I was surprised that Braun was straining a little bit. Like, how could
you? Oh, you started to sweat a little bit.
Yeah, like, she's as light as a feather.
Well,
how
obviously,
could you be
obviously, if you have something over your head a long time, I guess, right? Like, you're gonna end up like sweating and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I've never sweated over a weight over my head.
A woman over my head like that, and you know. Well, anyways, so then we get The Fiend coming out, and he's gonna throw her, and now WWE has this thing where now, oh, let's turn out the lights, so like we didn't.
Hey,
so we
you
didn't
know why?
Head kick Ric Flair.
Yeah, because it worked for Ric Flair. Yeah. Sound that I don't have to see it, but I don't know how you stop the fact that Alexa falls. You didn't hear the crash. Mm. Did Braun catch her midair? Could that have been a
they
scenario?
Probably threw a mat. They probably had the guys like
yeah. They probably threw a
mat
there. Yeah,
something like that.
Exactly.
Whatever. But okay, so he throws her over, and then The Fiend comes out, and now you don't know if The Fiend is heel or not. Is because you get Braun going,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden The Fiend starts, but it looks like he's there to help Alexa Bliss. I don't know if he's torn, whether he has this like passion for Alexa Bliss. You don't know, and now you don't know who's the heel here. Is it two heels? Is it Braun who's turning full, and now Bray Wyatt The Fiend is turning into a face? He doesn't need to be a face. Why would you even give the inkling that he's a face? He should have gone in there and given Alexa Bliss the mandible claw and end it with that, and then just remind everyone that he is a heel, because now I don't know what I'm watching. That led more questions than to solidify a match that is just a few weeks away at SummerSlam. I have more questions than answers, because I don't know if The Fiend is starting to slip into turning face. I don't.
Really?
I don't.
That segment gave you more questions? I've been having questions since this whole thing started, Jeff. Here's my biggest question, Jeff, and ask me two. And please, by God, hopefully with your wisdom now, your added years of wisdom, can hopefully answer this question for me, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Question number one. Does anybody really care about the Universal title right now? Yeah. Is it a priority? Would you even know, without him holding the belt, that
did
this
he,
is going
did he
to
bring
be
it with
for
him?
He had it with him.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, and it fell in the ring as he was lifting up Alexa Bliss. But does anybody know right now? I mean, they're promoting it, but would you think anybody cares right now that this is a match between Braun and The Fiend Bray Wyatt, and it's not just for the Universal title?
You can't even tell. You can't even tell. It's more, you know, it's fine if it's personal, but, you know, you got to have that title, you know, mean something. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's there. It's like a prop. So I don't know, man. But I have more questions, because to me, I don't know what they're doing with The Fiend. I don't know whether they messed up or whether like, oh,
they messed
man.
Up.
I don't know. I don't know what that
was. What the mess up was. Yeah. One name, Goldberg. That was the mess up. But question number two, Jeff. You saw Braun come out. Head shaved. Kind of weird. All right. Came out. Was it worth it? Could you have waited till SummerSlam to see Braun?
I would have liked to see that you could have done all that at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I mean, you were the one last week or the week before, you're saying, oh, we need to see Braun come out now.
No.
You saw him.
Yeah,
didn't live up to the hype.
You could
have waited to see the monster versus the Fiend at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you could have seen it at SummerSlam. Definitely. Yeah. I'll give you the win on that one, Trendsetter. But more questions definitely than answers. And then in something where, like, I'm going to more reflect on Big E's big win against John Morrison with all the Lumberjacks there in the ring because they're trying to make sure that Retribution doesn't come out. Oh, they make the
Lumber People. They make, to be politically correct, that's Lumber People. Can't exactly. call them
Jacks. Oh, and then Michael Cole and Corey Graves clear up the fact that these guys are using current headlines and storylines in the country to, you know, terrorize the WWE. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Why would you say that?
Because they want to make it real.
Oh, bro. My God.
They and want then, to make it real.
And then you get that horrible segment in the back where they're attacking referees. So these guys are big now. These guys are attacking referees and personnel
did,
in the back.
Did one of them fall over the table?
One of the referees, they slammed them on the table.
And they went with the referee, I believe.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think so. I saw a replay of it, and he fell with the referee through the table. The table didn't even break.
And here's the thing. WWE loves to beat people up. And then you're like, whoa. The last time I was ever interested in something like that was, you remember where SmackDown attacked Raw right before Survivor Series? Mm. You remember they came in and they attacked the locker room and they did all that stuff and they beat up on Ronda Rousey? And remember the part where, like, Natty's running at first and Dana Brooke's running out
Dana
fast?
Brooke runs.
Yeah, remember Natty's, like, running and she's actually cupping Zack Ryder
in the crotch.
Yeah, so, like, that's the last time I was like, whoa. This,
you know what, the last time I was interested in that was when the NWO attacked Nitro.
Wow, that's longer. Yeah.
Yeah, and you saw the Outsiders and basically Rey Mysterio Jr. Jump on top of Kevin Nash.
That's what
Nash grabbed him in the air and slingshot him like a dart on the TV truck, almost broke his face. That was what I was like, whoa, that is cool. That is, you don't know if that's real or not. Is that really happening? This is an invasion.
So I want to say one thing. And listen, I'm not going to give the Retribution anymore, whatever hub, because that backstage segment to close the show was dumb. They had the whole WDB with the cross out. Oh, my God. But wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What if that WDB with the cross out was WDB, you can't see me?
Mm.
What if that, I'm going to be like Bully Ray now. What if that was a signal that WWE, you can't see me. What? Because that is the only way that this would work. Because John Cena said he wasn't a fan of the Raw Underground. He's been kind of like making a little bit of critiques, whatever like that. Maybe the leader is John Cena. Because no one's ever come back the same after taking on The Fiend. Right?
Yeah, we haven't seen him since that.
No, but Finn Balor hasn't come back since being after facing The Fiend. He hasn't been the same. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins hasn't been the same since taking on The Fiend. Daniel Bryan hasn't been the same since taking on The Fiend.
He's got shorter hair.
There's always this effect from The Fiend. What if that WWE with that crossing is you? Listen, I'm just you know, throwing it out there. But what if John Cena was the one who is the leader of Retribution? That is the only way that would save that this whatever this thing is.
So real quick to that point though, all right, say it was John. I mean the whole sign could be the you don't see me type of thing, which you've seen in terms of the kind of gear that John Cena wears. So if you were to do that would actually be pretty cool. I wouldn't say that. We kind of see a different side of John Cena. What would be his gripe, you think? What would be the reasoning why he
doesn't like gripe? What's going on with WWE since he's left?
Okay, not just Ronda. He doesn't like the direction the WWE is going in.
He kind of critiqued Ronda Underground, but he doesn't like the direction.
Mm-hmm.
That he doesn't like it. That he doesn't, you know, that he's not a fan of it. I didn't think this out because I just thought about this right now.
Yeah. Well, we're thinking it out right now as we're just kind of doing it real quick. We have more weeks to think about it as we find out in terms of who's the leader, you know, and things of that. Like,
he could have said,
direction
I left,
they doing.
You know, I left this. I never thought I'd leave this place like The Rock did. But then I realized that there was much more money to make in Hollywood and stuff like that. And then when I realized that no one's taken the ball, no one's become that guy, that top guy, whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And then Cena starts aligning himself with, listen, hey, this to me would be huge if this was. I'm just like hypotheticals here. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it means anything like that, but how cool would it be if it was John Cena?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a cooler scenario than most things I've heard where people were like, you know, even Bully Ray mentioned it on the show, The Busted Open, where he's like, could it be like past disgruntled
NXT, check the Twitter and see if anyone's even said that.
Former guys that didn't get an opportunity. But then I'd be like, well, they're just bitter ex-employees. There would have to be a big face or big name behind it. Like, for example, what I mentioned before, right, about the NWO, when Hogan came out and then he turned like that, it was the biggest whoa in the entire that, – that's probably one of the most shocking moments in pro wrestling history, where Hogan came out and completely turned his back on WCW. If a guy like John Cena, who's been compared to like a Hulk Hogan, basically, you know, but instead of, you know, putting his hand by his ear, he just puts it in front of his face as he says, that would be pretty interesting. You know, John Cena's never really said he's quit or he's retired. You know, maybe he's kind of similar to The Rock, where he just kind of wanders away into the sunset and he retires quietly. But if John Cena were ever to come back for just a one more run in the sense of trying to contribute something more back to the industry and actually cement even more of his legacy as a Hall, he's a Hall of Famer. That would be a cool dynamic that we've seen that before with the Master of Thugonomics. For him to hold the scenario of being the leader of Retribution, whatever they call themselves, that would be pretty interesting. That he is now attacking the one thing he was always willing to protect, the one thing he said he loved more than anything, and the one thing he said he would never leave or ever damage. That'd be pretty cool.
Check this out. Check this person, Retribution, put over here. Read it.
Retributi.
He's greater than Retribution.
Guess who? Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Could be somebody. I think somebody from NXT UK.
Yeah, no, it would make sense that because they're not doing anything right now, obviously, so you would bring them over here. But another disappointment,
I get people
too,
on Twitter here saying SmackDown was really, really good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair. Hey, if you thought it was good, it was good.
Mm-hmm. They love the people love Bully Ray love the Abyss Joseph Park on screen work, which we enjoyed. That was nice to be nostalgic.
It was the highlight of the night.
Yeah, but I've not seen. I'll probably post it when we get off of this show here, and maybe get the feedback from. I know DJ Kuzma will definitely.
Yeah, DJ.
DJ,
shout out. We love you, buddy.
Hey, thanks for shouting out for me. A happy birthday, dude. I really appreciate that. And guys, if you want to, you know, interact with us, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, definitely hit us up on High Spot Podcast. But listen, man, DJ Kuzma has been awesome. He keeps shouting us out, so we're definitely going to like interact with him as well. So shout out to him. Appreciate you. And definitely, hey, if anyone listens to it, it's going to be DJ Kuzma. So definitely.
He's our number one listener.
So, but other than that, Trendsetter, I mean, listen, if you like the show, good. I just don't like this Retribution because, unfortunately, that reminded me too much of – they tried to make it too much like the WCW where they threw Ray like a dart, right? It just looked like that scene, you know? And it just looked like the WWE wrestlers were helpless. Yeah, they'll do it for their creation, but heaven forbid some other creation outside of the company was doing that. They'd never make them look
well,
that
weak. Let's be honest. They're using the scenarios of we've had the deals with the protesting and the riots been going on. They're implementing that in their programming, which, you know – give your take, whether it's your cup of tea or not, it's up to you. But they're implementing that here in WWE if people did not get a fair shake or had opportunities taken away from them. You know, you name the excuse, that's what they're trying to do with it. My biggest scenario with it was just, or my biggest little, you know, pet peeve was like, listen, we know it's part of the show. Just don't tell us it's part of the show. Give us that believability factor where, you know, they don't know what's going on. We don't, you know, the moment you put a package on air about it to replay what happened the night before when you, in reality as a company, don't even want to acknowledge it and just say we had certain scenarios here that we do not want to discuss and we're moving forward with it and hopefully we'll not have it again. That's what you kind of want to do to make it feel as if it's real. When you start promoting, making packages and giving them a name, it kind of loses its ability in terms of what could possibly be in, you know, on the ultimate, you know, when we find out basically what this whole thing is all about. But yeah, I mean, for the show, for the most part, is, you know, I would say it's okay. I wouldn't say good or I wouldn't say great. I'm kind of on the fence between it. Had some bright spots, obviously had some down spots that we talked about. But my thing is this, Jeff, and like, listen, we're almost 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks probably after this episode of SummerSlam happening. I don't know if they've definitely said it's going to be a performance center or where the definite location
like
is.
Like the Amway Center.
Okay, that might be a scenario. I mean, we definitely know it's not going to be in Boston. It's not going to be in Boston, Massachusetts. Wicked awesome, though. It's not going to be Boston. Maybe next year. But what kind of concerns me, Jeff, is like, listen, we have certain storylines in place. We kind of know what's going on with the Universal title with Bray and the Fiend, with Bray the Fiend and Braun Strowman. Kind of know what's going on with the women's titles with Asuka, Bayley, and Sasha. Women's tag team titles will not be defended, I think, at that point. They will be defended in the next pay-per-view. We don't know where the IC title is going or if it's going to be defended at SummerSlam. Should be. The tag team titles, what kind of roster is the tag team division right now for Raw or SmackDown? I don't know. And then the U.S. title, not really talked about a lot on Raw. Again, we don't cover Raw, but we've seen Raw, and okay. And then the WWE Championship. We know that's the focal point. Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, which have been, it's been great television to watch. It's been intriguing, compelling. But I'm thinking to myself, this is supposed to be the biggest party of the summer, Jeff. I just feel like a lot of things are being left to last minute in terms of getting excited for certain things. I'm definitely excited for the WWE Championship match. I can't say the same for the Universal title match because I don't think the Universal title match is the focal point in the storyline. Mm-hmm. I want to see the IC title defended, but if we're going to have Jeff Hardy in it for the sake of just having a match to have a match for that to be the scenario, I don't know if I'm going to be that excited for it. So it's a little disappointing the fact that we're almost less than 2 weeks away and this is what we have so far for our card.
Yeah.
And everything else feels, I just feel, will be put in last minute. And that's terrible for
one
of your,
happens,
one of your big events.
It always happens.
You want to do that.
It always happens this way.
For Royal Rumble, it's kind of more collected. As for WrestleMania, of course, we know they try to go all out with a nostalgia factor. SummerSlam, I feel, for the last couple of events have been just kind of like, we'll figure it out the closer we get to it type of scenario.
Yeah, and this one is no different, trendsetter. So, yeah, definitely. Listen, we may have not liked the show, but hey, there's people that liked it.
Yeah.
So if
nothing wrong with
to
that.
Be hard on it, no, definitely not.
We're just giving our perspective
if
on
you
it.
Guys like
we didn't hate on it. We didn't poo-poo on it.
No, I just
we gave the good points that we liked, and we gave the points that we didn't understand.
And again, next week as we get closer to SummerSlam, hopefully things clear up more. But if you guys want to talk to me or at me about the whole Bron Bray and Alexa Bliss, let us know. But for that, we're gonna put a ribbon on it because I got a birthday cake to eat. I got presents to open. And
cake.
I
know I forgot about
that. Oh, dude. Anyways.
You like carrot cake, right?
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love carrot cake. Anyways, so I got things to do, people to see, shots to take. Not really. I really don't drink. But anyways, trendsetter.
If there's ever a moment to take a shot, probably around this
year. It was great to do an episode here for you guys on my birthday. I really appreciate you guys. You can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Like and subscribe on the YouTube. We are on bodyslam.net and also on our social media at High Spot Podcast, Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow. And that's it, trendsetter, man. Let's put a ribbon on it, man.
That is it, folks. You've been listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. Make sure you catch us next week for another episode. For my tag team partner, the scoundrel, the birthday boy, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berga, leaving you with this, guys. And the trendsetter will be put away to the side for 1 second, if you will indulge me. To Jeff, I wish you nothing but a happy birthday, many blessings. You know, there are a lot of things that I could say that would be out of character to tell you now on the air, but I'll tell you this one thing. You know, as much as I beat Jeff up and kind of nitpick on him, which I have every right to do as a trendsetter, there are things in life, too, you have to also put into account, into priority. And scenarios, and when you go through life, especially the life we're dealing with nowadays with the pandemic and trying to find some sense of normalcy, you want to be in the foxhole with the people you trust and the people you can confide in the most. And there's nobody I'd want to do this show more than the guy sitting right next to me here. Although I am in the power chair, I wouldn't want. I had to throw that one in. But I would want nobody as my tag team partner than this guy right here, the scoundrel Jeff Martin. Doesn't get the credit he deserves, nor does he give himself the credit that I feel he rightfully deserves. So the one last thing I'll say to you, Jeff, is I wish you a very happy birthday. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for the moments. Don't enjoy it for the number. And one more thing, always remember this. If you don't remember anything I ever say to you, which he never does, goes in one ear, not the other with Jeff. Remember this. Let life come to you, not the other way around.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
So for that, guys, we thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't figured it out by now, then you never will. But don't worry. We'll always be there to remind you because that's what we do. Because we love each and every one of you members because we love this so much because we do this for each and every one of you. We do this for you, the crew.
Wash your hands.
And happy birthday.